drops the ball.
Pigs have flown. Hell is frozen over. The Saints are on their way to the Super Bowl.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to a fresh week and a big week here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by rockauto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need. Ross Jackson here at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at canalstreetchronicles.com, and your host covering your New Orleans Saints every single Monday through Friday. On today's show, Pro Football Focus ran simulations for the 2020 season. We'll start off with a look at the best and worst case scenarios developed for the New Orleans Saints. Then we kick off our ultimate divisional crossovers, joined by the host of Locked On Falcons, Bucks, and Panthers to discuss each team across the division over this week, kicking off with the first place Saints. Have the Saints improved enough? What's their perception from around the division, and what are their expectations going into 2020? We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. Pro Football Focus ran simulations for every single NFL team and came up with their 10th and 90th percentile outcomes, or best and worst case scenarios. What do the Saints' outcomes look like, and who was the most responsible party for either their success or failure? That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. In PFF's 10th percentile outcome, or their worst case scenario, they have the Saints finishing the 2020 season at 7-9, including their description upon how they got there. Drew Brees seems to be the catalyst. Drew Brees finally steps down from an elite tier of playing quarterback, and his arm decides to call it quits. And that's the only way that we can see this team falling below 500, given how deep the roster is from top to bottom. So clearly, Drew Brees is the catalyst for either success or failure, which should come as no surprise to Saints fans. And honestly, a 7-9 finish would be extremely disappointing because of absolutely how loaded and stacked this roster is and how talented this team looks to be on paper. However, it could be a lot worse. There are other teams in the NFC South, like the Panthers, for instance, whose 10th percentile outcome puts them with a 4-12 record. Now, 7-9 is probably not going to be enough to get you into the playoffs, even with an additional playoff team in each conference, but it still seems very unlikely that the Saints end up here. As they noted, it would take a big-time fallout from Drew Brees, or of Drew Brees, rather, to see this team finish below 500. Interestingly, in this outcome, Pro Football Focus also took a look at the possibility of Jameis Winston taking over mid-season, but having some trouble converting his style of play to fit the New Orleans Saints sort of quick pass, short to intermediate area of the field, as Pro Football Focus called it, the bread and butter, with Drew Brees behind center. Just not enough time for Jameis Winston to get in tune and switch his style of play to fit what the game plan is in New Orleans, and how that could potentially be detrimental if he is thrust into action for New Orleans too soon before he's able to make the appropriate adjustments to fit into the offense. Which, for the record, I think is a pretty astute observation. It makes a lot of sense that earlier on in the season, Taysom Hill, who's a bit more familiar with the system, would be the go-to primary backup, while Jameis Winston instead would become the go-to primary guy over the course of the season as he fine-tunes his game and get some more work in with the coaches and with the Saints offense in practice. So both an interesting and understandable observation from Pro Football Focus there. But now let's jump into the good news, the best case scenario, the 90th percentile outcome, where they have the Saints finishing 12-4. I think this is a little bit more in line with the expectations of where the Saints will be at the end of the regular season. This is certainly where I have them at the moment. I know some fans have them at 13-3. Some analysts have them at 11-5. Just kind of depends upon where not only your perception of the team is, but also your perception of their opponents late in the season. But this seems to be the outcome that feels most expected from the Saints. And in terms of how they got there by Pro Football Focus standards, Brees remains one of the game's elite quarterbacks for one more season, and veteran additions like Emmanuel Sanders and Malcolm Jenkins add depth to an already talented roster. So this is very much in line with what the expectations are for the Saints going into this 2020 season, noting that what Michael Thomas did last year was impressive, but that the Saints are sure probably happy about having a guy like Emmanuel Sanders in the building to take some of that share off of Michael Thomas and continue to spread the ball out on offense. But it's not just the offense
that they note as highly improved. On defense, they credit the additions of Malcolm Jenkins, the retention of cornerback Janoris Jenkins opposite Marshawn Lattimore, and the development and versatility of young defensive back Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, all providing the team with a ton of options and a ton of talent over on the defensive side. So not only the offense contributing to that 12-4 season, but also the defense, which is something that maybe Saints fans aren't entirely accustomed to. Confidence in their defense going into a season in particular, with the talent, veteran presence, and playmakers that they now have in that secondary. But there's certainly no doubt that the biggest key to success or catalyst for failure when it comes to the New Orleans Saints is going to be in quarterback Drew Brees. And if we're being honest with ourselves, what's new? What's new, right? Drew Brees has been in that position and has come through many times before, even with bad defenses. Now he has a good defense, and I think that it's reasonable to expect the Saints to make a fourth straight trip to the postseason here in 2020. I believe it. I trust it. So glad to see that Pro Football Focus sees it as well. All right, coming up next, we're going to dive into our ultimate divisional crossover, episode one, getting started with your New Orleans Saints this week, talking a little bit about where the changes happen for the team, where the improvements are, and what the perception is from around the NFC South, and take some questions from our NFC South hosts as well. We got that coming up for you next year on Locked On Saints, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Now, y'all know that I have been dealing with my tailgate issue. Somebody posted a picture on Twitter the other day of the back of somebody's truck, and I literally got jealous because on that truck was a tailgate. Guys, that's something I never thought I'd ever be jealous about. I never thought I'd have tailgate envy, but I do. But it's okay. Rock Auto has helped me out with it. Went over to rockauto.com, got all the parts that I needed. I'm waiting on like the last couple of pieces to show up so that I can go ahead and get started. And then it's going to take me like a year to get all this done because I have no idea what I'm doing. But I'm going to learn. And that's where Rock Auto is the absolute most helpful. They'll be able to help you out with anything. If you are already somebody who likes to restore cars, if you have repairs that you need to remake, and if you want to go ahead and save yourself some money, why spend twice the amount that you're going to spend going elsewhere to these brick and mortar stores? You can help yourself out over at rockauto.com. Family business, helping out people for over 20 years. Check them out, rockauto.com. Don't forget to let them know that Locked On sent you by writing Locked On in the How'd You Hear About Us section. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and all the parts for your vehicle that you're ever going to need at rockauto.com. All right, everybody, welcome to the first episode of our week's worth of Ultimate Divisional Crossovers here with the Ultimate Division in the NFL, the NFC South. Fight me if you want to. I know I'm right. This is Ross Jackson, host of Locked On Saints at Ross Jackson NOLA, and I'm joined by three of my best friends here to get this one started. Let's go ahead and do some introductions, fellas.
Hey, this is Aaron Freeman, Locked On Falcons. You can find me on Twitter at FalcFans, FalcFans.
And I am David Harrison, one of the hosts over at the Locked On Bucks podcast. You can find me on Twitter at DHarrison82.
And Bill Rossetti here of Locked On Panthers at Bill_Rossetti. It's RICCETTE on Twitter. And great to be here, everyone.
Great to be here with you guys. And I just want to be really clear. James isn't able to be here with us, but he is my other best friend. So don't feel bad, James. Don't feel bad. So all throughout this week, we're going to be talking about each of the NFC South teams, starting off with the Saints. Tuesday, we'll jump to the Falcons. Wednesday, we'll jump to the Bucks, and then Thursday, we'll go to the Panthers. We got something special for you planned on Friday, which is kind of our wild card day. This is happening all across the network, so very glad to be able to kick this off here with the NFC South. We'll kick it off with the top team in the NFC South, the New Orleans Saints. Let me flip my hair real quick. So we're going to go ahead and jump through sort of the rhythm of in this first segment, or really second segment of the show, some updates on the Saints in particular. Then we'll sort of talk a little bit more about where the Saints fit within the NFC South, and then talk about some questions and things like that. So let's start off with some updates for the Saints. I figure we start off with free agency and the draft, talk a little bit about where the Saints made some nice additions, and then we'll sort of talk a little bit amongst ourselves just about where that perception is from the rest of the NFC South. So I think I would mention that the biggest additions for the Saints, I'll go one offense, one defense, would be Malcolm Jenkins at the safety position in free agency, and then Emmanuel Sanders at wide receiver in free agency. And then, they had a nice four-person draft that was almost a three-person draft if they, Sean Payton wouldn't have gotten real petty with Joe Brady over there in Carolina, trading back in to grab Tommy Stevens just to make him mad. But in terms of those additions in the draft, Cesar Ruiz coming in to, I think, man the center position for the Saints. They'll probably bump Eric McCoy to right guard. And then, you know, they ended up releasing Larry Warford, which is another big change for the offense. Then they drafted Adam Trautman to bring in as another tight end, and then Zach Bond to be sort of a hybrid pass rusher, off ball linebacker. Really interested to see what he's going to be able to do this offseason. And then Tommy Stevens, the quarterback slash receiver slash the Taysom Hill, the sequel, basically. He's essentially the sequel to Taysom Hill. So a lot of additions for this Saints offense and defense, as well as some changes, some other sort of minor changes. I mean, bringing in a guy like Ty Montgomery is obviously something very exciting as well, although that came later on in free agency. So if and when we get our training camp, we were kind of talking about before we went on air, we'll see exactly how these guys really impact and fit in with the team. But you can already start to see where these guys are slotting in. So those are the big additions, I would say, for the Saints so far. So let's start off there. What do you guys feel in terms of looking at the Saints and where they made some changes this year?
Ross, you forgot the one massive addition that the Saints made by getting David's boy, James Winston.
You know, I was going to save it. I was going to save it for a little bit, but you're absolutely right. Because the last time that we did this, we all went around and talked about the likelihood of Jameis Winston ending up on one of the teams in the NFC South. And I was like, nah, that's not happening. He's antithetical to Sean Payton and the way that the Saints, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, the Saints go and sign him for $1.1 million. So, yeah, he's a big old addition, too.
Well, you know, when you look at these Saints offseason moves, they went heavy on the veteran players. You know, they got a whole bunch of 30-something-year-old guys, you know, Sanders, Jenkins, Swearinger, Marcus Hunt. And it seems like they're clearly trying to address, and I think they were able to address several of their holes, particularly getting that number two wide receiver with Sanders, you know, getting a little bit more athletic at the linebacker position by getting Zach Bond, you know, adjusting some things on the interior offensive line. I still have question marks about their decision to pay Andrews Pete. I got a lot of mileage out of that on Twitter, but that's a conversation for another day. It clearly seems to me, at least looking at these moves, that the Saints are basically trying to get that one big push over the hump and going after some of these veteran players that they can sort of help believe, think that they can come in right away and really sort of give them that last little whatever it is that the Saints have been missing in the postseason the last couple of seasons. And we'll have to sort of see about that. I can only relate it to something the Falcons did many years ago back in 06 when they were trying to get over the hump after a disappointing NFC South or NFC Championship loss to the Eagles 2 years earlier than that. And they went out and got a bunch of veterans. It didn't quite work out for them. Obviously, I'm a little biased to hope that it also doesn't work out for the Saints, but it is interesting to sort of see that dynamic and maybe the Saints will be able to fare better because I do think a lot of these players are better than some of the players, at least in 2006, that the Falcons wound up picking up.
Can't help but agree.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, I mean, looking at the Saints offseason, I think, you know, this is a team that's had their window open for a period of time now, and they haven't been able to take advantage of that completely by, you know, getting another Lombardi trophy for their franchise. But the moves that they made are kind of a good combination, solid combination of keeping that window open and also ensuring that they have something to build on for the future, but that those future pieces also help them keep that window open. So I think it's kind of a trademark of good teams and good franchises that can produce long-term success. And I think it's just kind of a trademark of what the Saints have been doing. I mean, you look at Cesar Ruiz, whether he comes in as a guard or, like you said, Ross, takes over at center, that's a guy who can help this year. But then again, if, you know, once Jameis Winston takes over the starting job there in New Orleans, he can help him usher in the next era of Saints football. Zach Bond is a guy that a lot of people were high on. Definitely could see him playing linebacker for the Saints for a long, long time. And then even Adam Trautman, I mean, right now, you know, like I'm looking at the Our Lad's projected depth chart and they've got him listed as the third tight end. So, you know, there might be some Saints fans, if that's what happens, might be wondering why you spent a third round draft pick on a number three tight end. Well, 2-3 years from now, when he's catching touchdowns from Jameis Winston, you know, taking the New Orleans Saints to the playoffs with Michael Thomas and Traquan Smith, who's finally reached his ceiling and so on and so forth, Saints fans are going to be happy they did it. But in the meantime, you've got Emmanuel Sanders here carrying some of that burden so that Traquan, Deontay Harris can continue to develop. So, I mean, you can't hate on anything the Saints did other than the fact that they're the Saints and you just don't want to see them, you know, getting beat by the Vikings in the postseason again.
Right. Yeah. I know how much you love Sean Payton too.
I actually don't have a problem with Sean Payton. James despises Sean Payton. I'm actually cool with Sean Payton, but yeah, it's
my man.
You can't argue with what the Saints have been able to do this offseason. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and then like everyone said, like this is, you know, kind of like the final push, like Aaron said. I mean, Drew Brees is obviously at the tail end, as we kind of discussed the last time we got around to this. And obviously some of these pieces. I mean, Cesar Ruiz in the first round, love the pick. I mean, you look at, and I know there was a huge, you know, we're not getting into like positions on other teams, but I know there was that huge talk about like offensive tackles. And of course, you know, no surprise, New Orleans has two of the top tackles in the league, and Teron Armstead and Ryan Ramczyk. Mitchell Schwartz should be on that list, by the way. But their offensive line, when I look at this roster, I mean, it's just so good, right? I mean, it's almost like the Cowboys kind of formula for success, right? Building into that offensive line. And like you mentioned, whether McCoy's playing at center, whether Ruiz is playing at center, I mean, you've got two really good guys there, two young guys that no matter who the quarterback is going for, that's going to be a really nice building block. And then, you know, you get Malcolm Jenkins back, you know, and obviously he's had quite an eventful offseason on and off the field. But I mean, just the leadership that he brings, obviously there was a bit of a falling out with Philadelphia. You know, he wanted to stay in Philadelphia. I mean, I think ideally he wanted to stay in Philadelphia, but obviously they just didn't meet eye to eye there. So he goes back to New Orleans, helps lead what's obviously a really good secondary. I mean, this defense, and you know, there's a lot of unheralded names on this defense too, and we'll dig into that obviously in a little bit. But like you guys mentioned, some of the pieces that they brought in free agency kind of help build on some of the stud players that they already have that a lot of casual fans might not know about. So yeah, this is kind of the final push. But obviously also to me, I think one of the more intriguing moves that they made, we're sitting here talking about Jameis Winston and the contract or the small contract he got. What about all that money they gave to Taysom Hill?
Right.
I mean, I think that stunned a lot of people that they come out and now they're paying what, $10 million a year over the next 2 years for Taysom Hill. So it's really going to be interesting. It was a lot of fun back in the day when Taysom Hill was supposed to be the star to take over for Drew Brees when he retires. He's supposed to be the next Steve Young taking over for Joe Montana. Those are some good conversations by some sites. But I mean, you have to like what the Saints did here, and that's obviously one of the big reasons why they're the favorites in the NFC South. And yes, Tommy Stevens, what a fun story that was.
Oh man, that was wild. That was like the you know, people ask all the time, they're like, you know, oh, is covering a team every single day, does that get boring or is it hard to find stuff? And I'm like, no, not in the NFC South. Not at all. And certainly not for the Saints when you have, you know, maybe sometimes, I mean, I did an episode not too long ago asking just the entire Saints front office and the entire Saints team, I just need them to go to sleep for a week and stop making news on stuff that, you know, stuff that they keep getting in trouble about. But either way, it is as it is. All right, y'all, wrapping up today's show, wrapping up our first episode of the NFC South Ultimate Divisional Crossover. Got joined here by my best friends. Got Aaron, got David, got Bill. We're all here. We're chilling. Talking a little bit about these New Orleans Saints. We want to hear a little bit from these guys about the perception of the Saints within the division, as well as take a couple of questions about the team as well. So guys, let's start off by maybe opening the floor a little bit. I've done a lot of talking. Let's hear a little bit more from all of you guys about where you feel that the Saints rank or your perception sort of where they are within this division. Because, I mean, y'all know what I'm going to say. So let's hear a little bit from y'all.
Well, I guess I can go first as the number one challenger to the Saints.
I don't know about all that.
From the Falcons. I think
the Saints here
deservedly are sort of considered the front runners in the division. Obviously, I'm sure as we will get into more conversations further this week about who is the biggest challenger to them in the division, whether that's the Falcons, whether it's the Bucks. No offense, Bill. You know, I don't think anybody's expecting the Panthers to make a run, but we'll see.
Y'all keep obviously sleeping on Teddy Bridgewater. Go ahead. Keep sleeping on Teddy Bridgewater.
We'll see. I don't think the Panthers are going to be bad this year, but we'll see. So I just think, you know, the Saints deservedly, you know, pound for pound, you know, from a balanced roster standpoint, some of the things we've touched on already today, they seem like they have the most balanced roster. They obviously had the most success last year. They feel like they've shored up some areas of strength. you know, really to me, the question about the Saints is what they've done this offseason enough to get them over the hump to, you know, January and have more success in January and potentially in February, as opposed to what they're going to do in the regular season. But as a Falcon fan who has thought that way in the past and seen the team disappoint, you know, you can't take the regular season for granted quite as much. But obviously Sean Payton, Drew Brees, et cetera, have had a lot of regular season success. So there's no reason to think that it's all going to come crashing down this year of all years. But, you know, this year in particular is a weird year. So a lot of weird stuff could happen this upcoming season that we're not expecting. But I think, again, you know, to reiterate the point, I think the Saints are understandably considered to be the best team in the NFC South, and nothing that's occurred over the last several months makes me think that that should change.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear the Saints are on top of the NFC South until they're not on top of the NFC South, and that's going to take more than, you know, just a game here or there. It's going to take an entire season of one of these teams, whether it be the Bucs, the Falcons, or, you know, you never know, any given Sunday, right? The Panthers could certainly creep up there and become a challenger. Obviously, I'm looking forward to that week one matchup, you know, Tampa and New Orleans. Dari Ogunbowale was recently on a podcast on the Snapback Sports podcast there. And we played some clips from their show on our episode and kind of talked about what he discussed. And he said, you know, as far as the potential of playing in front of an empty stadium or in an empty stadium, no fans, it's great when you're going to the Superdome. But obviously, they would rather have the fans in the seats in Ray J. Honestly, I mean, even if the Bucs go into New Orleans week one and defeat the Saints, I don't think that anybody with kind of a sound mind or just, you know, with some NFL expertise would say, boom, that's it. Bucs are the number one contender in the NFC South now, because we all know what a difference between week one, week 17, Aaron. I mean, the Falcons know that better than anybody. The Bucs defense guys, you know, they know that better than anybody just from last year alone. So even week one, a win obviously would be great. But I think until, you know, until basically one of these teams clinches an NFC South division title, the Saints are the king of the NFC South, and nothing's going to change that. Nothing on their roster makes me think that that's going to change. As far as I'm concerned, this team is better in 2020 than they were in 2019.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the pieces that they have, and, you know, going back to what I said earlier about some of the lesser known players that some fans might not know about that they should know about. I mean, you look at this defensive line. I want to focus on this defensive line real quick too. I mean, obviously Cameron Jordan, a lot of people know, who's one of the best D linemen. Sheldon Rankins has been having a steady career so far, but David Onyemata, I mean, that's a name that not many casual fans might not recognize, but he's been a solid force for the Saints defensive line, and, you know, has been just as important as some of these other guys. And the Marcus Davenport, you know, has been coming into his own over his first couple seasons. I mean, overall, I mean, I really like what this team has on paper. On both sides of the ball, especially on defense. And I already gushed in the first segment over the offensive line, which is going to be huge for even like their running game. You know, Alvin Kamara, and they brought back Latavius Murray. You mentioned, Ross, Ty Montgomery. I'm really intrigued how Sean Payton is going to use Ty Montgomery. We know how versatile he can be running the ball, catching the ball. He's been, I mean, it's not every day you see a running back wear number 88.
Right.
And I mean, I don't know. I'm assuming he's getting that number with the Saints. I don't know if they've officially given him. There you go. So a running back wearing 88. So big ups to Ty Montgomery there. But yeah, like the others have said, basically they're the kings until some, you know, it's like Ric Flair always says, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And until one of these other teams beats the Saints, they are not the man. And I don't think that is happening in 2020. This is probably going to be another strong season for the Saints. Now, you know, the second half of their schedule is pretty intriguing. You know, looking at it here, shout out to Warren Sharp. I'm actually going to be checking out Warren Sharp's stuff here, so I might quote some stuff from his book.
That new guide he did is incredible.
I'm looking at it right now. It's amazing. But you look at the back half of their schedule. I mean, they've got San Francisco week 10. And then they've got 2 of 3 against the Falcons with the Broncos sandwiched in there. And then they go to Philly. And then, of course, the big one, week 15 against Kansas City, which I cannot wait for that game. If we have it, fingers crossed, but that's going to be great. And then the Vikings and the Panthers to close the season. So that's going to be a fun stretch for the Saints. But obviously, again, I think they're very talented enough that they're going to overcome this. And, you know, you're probably looking at another 11-12 win season for this team.
Yeah. This is why you come to the Locked On Podcast Network, because you get Ric Flair references.
in the midst of fantastic football analysis. I love it. That was a fantastic, fantastic. All right, so let's dive into a couple of questions that we can hit here in the last couple of minutes. I know that Aaron, you kind of posed one in your opening there, talking about have the Saints done enough so far in terms of what they did in the offseason. Is that the question you want to go with, or do you have a different question you want to ask?
Well, I'll piggyback a little bit on that question because it's thematically similar. Mm-hmm. I wonder from your perspective, Ross, the Saints don't put it all together this year. Do you feel like they have enough to bring it back, to run it back again in 2021?
That's a great question.
I feel like these two questions are somewhat related. Is this like a one shot all in this year? If they don't do it this year, then what's going to happen in the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it definitely weighs on a couple of different things, or really depends on a couple of different things. First of all, who's the quarterback after Drew Brees is obviously going to be a huge part of that question. David has sort of answered it for us already in terms of what he believes will be there, and I'm not mad at it. But that's a big part of it. And then some of these other role players and these other, not even role players, but these other very important pieces that are out of contract after this season. DeMario Davis is in a contract year. Jared Cook is in a contract year. So how quickly could Adam Trautman step into a lead tight end role and be another viable receiving candidate for whoever the new quarterback is? Because having a tight end that's reliable is huge for any new quarterback, whether rookie or just coming into a new system. You know, is Emmanuel Sanders viable for an additional year after this year? If they decide not to re-sign Janoris Jenkins, or let me rephrase that. If they decide to move on from Janoris Jenkins after this year with those guarantees that remain, and then bring in a younger candidate, how does the secondary shape up? Things like that. There's still a lot of different questions that would have to ask. They have the key fundamental pieces. And then, of course, the Alvin Kamara question is a huge question as well. And if they didn't move forward with Alvin Kamara, who's the quote-unquote replacement at running back? So there's still a lot of different questions that would have to be answered. But I do think that they have they've laid the foundation for themselves with a talented offensive line and defensive line in terms of their trenches, and then having a superstar like Michael Thomas locked down, and a guy like Marshawn Lattimore, who would then be coming into his fifth year option at that point. They have the sort of foundation laid there. And then if Zach Bond pops, they have sort of what they need foundationally, but they'd still need some more building blocks in order to maintain into 2021 and remain competitive. And I think those building blocks would be really, really important.
Okay. That answers my question. Thank you.
Yeah, man.
Garros, my question obviously is going to focus around the quarterback. So every offseason, surrounding the Saints for a good chunk of the offseason is the status of Drew Brees. Is he going to come back? Is the shoulder good enough for him to come back? Is he still passionate about it? Is he sick of being an Eminem lyric? Let's say that after this season, Drew Brees decides to hang it up, and the Saints can't be greedy. You've got to either go with Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston, and Sean Payton calls up, the Locked On Saints podcast is like, hey, this is the smartest place to get any Saints information analysis from outside the meeting rooms. So, Ross, let me know who the guy is moving forward. Jameis Winston still in his 20s, or Taysom Hill now on the wrong side of 30 with minimal experience at best?
Yeah. First of all, I would say thank you for calling, Sean. I appreciate it. Glad to know that you listened to the show. I got a free pack of Juicy Fruit coming for you. And then secondly, my vote, honestly, at this point right now, is toward Jameis Winston. I'm sorry, I have a lot of trouble committing to the idea of Taysom Hill at this time. So if those two guys are my options, if you're going to tell me that I'm choosing between a guy that threw for 5,000 yards last year and has 5 years of starting experience as a starting quarterback and as a franchise quarterback at that, or a guy that's thrown six passes, right, or completed six passes in his career, I'm going to go with the dude with the starting experience and allow Taysom to continue to play the role that he played for another year. Now, he's going to get paid $16 million to do it, which I think is a little crazy. But hey, that's the contract that they gave him. So for me, the best case scenario for the Saints at this moment, before we have seen if Jameis Winston improves, if Taysom Hill has made some fantastic strides that we just don't know about yet, before we've seen any of that, for me, the best case scenario is that Drew Brees is finished. Taysom Hill sticks with his role where we know he is productive, as opposed to where we're making guesses. And Jameis Winston comes in, and with the improvements that we hope that we see from him, with the guys that he's working with, what he's calling the Harvard education of football or of quarterbacking, then that ends up being a place to where he becomes a starter, and Taysom Hill continues to be an offensive weapon. So that's my choice.
I mean, that's the direction I would go if I were the Saints. So I just wanted to see if that thought process was the same, because I know that Jameis gets a lot of flack from the Tampa media, and a lot of Buccaneers fans think that a lot of us out here don't like Jameis. And I don't know if we can really convey more clearly than we already kind of have tried to anyway, that pretty much everybody across the board who's a supporter of Jameis Winston really did see the ceiling that he just wasn't able to reach while he was here in Tampa. So, I mean, to see him reach it, I mean, obviously reaching that ceiling with the Saints would be a little bit of a different type of situation to watch. But I mean, just from an aspect of the player himself and the young man, you know, I think he's still got room to grow. I think he still has the ability to potentially reach that ceiling, or at least minimize those mistakes enough to where a top 15 defense can get them into the postseason and have them do some good things. So, you know, pulling for him, and I'm with you, man. I can't buy into this Taysom Hill as the future of the Saints at quarterback. I just can't do it right now.
I can't right now. I mean, the dude completed 3 passes on 6 attempts last year, and 2 of those 6 attempts came on fake punts. Like, come on. Come on. I can't right now.
Well, if Jameis can just eliminate throwing picks in the first 3 minutes of the game, just wait to like the 30 minute mark.
Right.
I think he'll be good. Yeah, I think he'll be good.
Right.
It's like the first 3 minutes, the last 3 minutes, and any time they're inside their own 30, that's when you hold your breath.
Right.
Yeah. Yep. Right. Oh. Or overtime in the case of week 17.
Yeah.
Deion Jones lurking over the middle.
That's right.
But I mean but Deion does that to the Saints no matter who's that quarterback. So it doesn't
I wanted to get your thoughts on like the wide receivers too. Like, we kind of touched on it a little earlier. Obviously Sanders is in to try to take some of the pressure off of Michael Thomas, but what's the development looking like? You know, what's the, I guess, end goal for guys like Deontay Harris, and Traquan Smith?
Well, Traquan Smith, everybody just wants to see him be effective for more than 2 games in the season. Like, it's really just about consistency. The dude just shines when Drew Brees is ready to break a record. Like, anytime that he's about to break a record, Traquan Smith all of a sudden shows up, and that's fantastic for Drew. But, you know, you just really want to see him be a little bit more consistent. And then with Deontay Harris, you got a really good look at him increasingly throughout the 2019 season, particularly beyond the bye week. And then he started to get a little bit more involved in the offense, particularly in the slot. And so you want to see a little bit more of him get involved in the offense for certain, especially without Ted Ginn Jr., without a legitimate field stretcher at this point. Because I don't look at Emmanuel Sanders as somebody that's strictly a field stretcher. I look at him as somebody that's just as effective underneath and in the intermediate realm, which I think is going to be great for Drew, great for this offense. But I'm curious to see if they utilize Deontay Harris in select positions where he can stretch the field, even if it's just to clear out and help the offense continue to work underneath. That's fine. But I'll be curious to see if he gets a little bit more involved while also maintaining his special teams ability, which I think is going to be something in terms of the question of his health and his being overused on offense and how that could affect the special teams game. I understand that, but I would like to see him a little bit more involved. Traquan Smith took over 68%, I believe, of his snaps in the slot last year. I think that he's in position to do that again, as Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas can both play inside and out. So he should be able to play both inside and out as well. So they should have some pretty diverse looks, and as well as 12 personnel when he's in, when he's out, things like that. So he'll have some opportunities for certain. The wide receiver coaches believe in him. They say that it's going to be a breakout year for him. I'll see. But, you know, it's really just about consistency when it comes down to Traquan Smith. All right, family, that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Saints. Thank you very much for joining us here on our first day of the Ultimate Divisional Crossover. This will be going on all throughout the week. Tomorrow, we jump to the Falcons. Wednesday, we go to the Bucks. On Thursday, we hit the Panthers. And then Friday, we hit that all NFC South preseason team, that we all voted on here over the last few weeks. So very excited to get through all of that. And of course, at the top of every single show throughout this week, make sure you tune in for the most up-to-date news and notes with your New Orleans Saints. We got that all coming up throughout the week. I thank you very much, as always, for being here and for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can find me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints. And trust Who Dat Nation, I'll holla at you.